We'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report.
There's a need out there for some more accessible devices for blind people, specifically hams. It's just that that's such a small market. It's not a profitable market because it's just too small.
The voice of Ron Milliman, K8HSY, retired professor of marketing at Western Kentucky University and now an entrepreneur who happens to be blind. He recently spoke to Rains Hapali, KC9RP.
I recently received an email from you, as many blind folks did, about ideas on what we as blind hams would like to see available that would be accessible that isn't now, and how much we would be willing to spend. I was looking for a talking frequency counter that would retract signals and it hears while scanning and then would lock them in, and that I would be able to identify them later on by having it verbalize those frequencies. I had said I'd be willing to pay $100 for it, knowing in my mind that, yeah, $100, I don't think so. What were the results of that survey, and were you surprised or encouraged by it?
Well, that's a very good question. We're looking at basically three products. One is a talking SWR power meter, and the other was a antenna analyzer. It was rather interesting that people had other suggestions like you did. There's some people willing to pay a fairly substantial amount of money, and then there's some people that were willing to pay very little. I don't know if willing is exactly the right word. I guess maybe able might be more appropriate. In the main, the numbers came out pretty close to what I would have expected, not too surprising. But the problem we've got is, even if somebody's willing to pay just to grab a number off the wall, there's nothing sacred about this number, just grab a number off the wall, $200 for a talking SWR meter. The problem is that the market is so small that it's hard to produce something like that in such small quantities. The only way you get your cost of production down is to be able to buy in large quantities. That's just the way it is. And, you know, there's a lot of people, and you hear it, that complain saying, my goodness sakes, how come there's a talking microwave on the market that costs $395, and yet you can go down to Walmart and buy a microwave that's as good or better for $89. The immediate conclusion is that blind people are being ripped off. And that's not necessarily the case. The market is so small, and even if you look at the total market, all the blind people in existence, that's still a very small proportion of the total number of people in existence. And it's not even reasonable to talk about all blind people, because all blind people is not even a part of any given market. When you take that market, blind and low vision people, and break it down into its various segments in terms of the different needs and abilities to pay and all that sort of thing, I'll tell you what, it gets pretty doggone small. And then you look at blind hams, for instance. Yeah, there's a lot of blind hams around, but the number of blind hams in terms of, number one, the total ham population, but number two, the total number of blind people, it's a sub-market within a sub-market. And it's just so difficult to produce products in those quantities and make it profitable without some kind of a government grant or something like that. Of course, there's the other problem. When you buy parts in small quantities, in today's world, it's almost impossible to buy parts that's made here in the United States. So we're immediately talking about overseas suppliers. Let's get real. We're really talking about China for the most part. And when you start buying parts and materials out of China, that's another huge, huge, complicated problem. You say, well, why? Why is it such a problem? Well, number one, there's thousands of suppliers over there. And number two, there's a lot of them that are not ethical, certainly don't meet the standards we have here in the United States. And it's so easy to get ripped off. People just don't realize that unless you have somebody over there that can represent you, somebody honest and ethical that you can trust to represent you, it's extremely difficult, because you have to make sure you know who you're dealing with without getting ripped off. And even at that, when you buy small quantities from some of the suppliers over there, we have to test every single part that comes in because of the high defect rate. It's just amazing. Now, if you're a big company like a General Electric, a Yaesu, or a Kenwood, you know, that's a different story. They have their own connections. They have enough purchase power where they can really specify exactly what they want and dictate how it's going to be produced and where it's going to be produced and so forth. But if you're a small company like Mellotronics and you're just, you know, getting started in this sort of thing, you don't have that kind of clout. Believe me, when we test, and I'm not kidding, when we test parts that we buy from China, and we're trying to be careful where we buy them even, we get about a 10 to 20% defect rate, and that's high. I'm getting a really good deal on switches, single-pole, double-throw switches. By golly, you know, that's a heck of a good price. So you buy a couple hundred of them, which is a small quantity, you know, relatively speaking, in industry, you know, you ordinarily be talking about thousands and maybe millions. And so you buy a couple hundred of them, you get them in, and you have to pay to have every single one of those switches tested. Because if you don't, and you put a defective switch in a product that you produce, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to come back, and you're going to end up with a very unhappy customer. And that unhappy customer is going to get on social media and tell all the other people that they know. And the next thing you know, you've got a, what would be otherwise a very good product, viable product, going down the drain on you because of bad publicity.
What is it about the Chinese business climate? Don't mean to pick on China, but they are the second or third largest economy in the world now, that produces such poor quality materials and products.
I wish I had a good answer for that. They simply don't have the standards that we've got. That's all there is to it. In the United States, if General Motors or anybody, whatever company you want to pick, if they put out a product with a 10 or 20% defect rate, they absolutely wouldn't stay in business. I mean, they'd be out of business in a heartbreak. But in China, the quantities are so vast that they get away with it. And I'll tell you what I kind of suspect. There's a lot of small companies over there. They don't have the high-tech equipment that can produce to the standards that what we're used to here in the United States. Goodness sakes, we're used to being able to have products come off the line with statistical quality control inspectors that will randomly inspect products. And if they find so many parts defective out of 1,000, they shut the whole line down, find out what the problem is, and they get the problem fixed. In China, they don't do that. They don't inspect. They just produce. They just simply don't have the same standards.
You're listening to a conversation with Ron Milliman, K8HSY, retired marketing professor at Western Kentucky University, and now an entrepreneur who happens to be blind. Hap Holly, KC9RP, will conclude speaking with Ron in a moment. This is The Rain Report, accessible worldwide on therainreport.com, from Twitter at #TheRainReport, and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
You know, you look at Kenwood, and they sell a 2-meter 220 and 440 talkies, like the one I have, the THF-6A. Very popular talkie in amateur radio circles. It has a price tag over $300.
That's right.
You go to the, what I call the chop suey radios, the radios from China, and they're $40-$50.
That's right.
As you pointed out, the amateur radio market itself is small, and yet look at the large discrepancy in price by the big four, if you will, versus those from China. How can the big manufacturers compete?
Yeah, and that's a very good question. I'm not sure they're going to be able too much longer, to be honest about it. The radios that we're getting that's being produced by the Chinese, they were originally produced for all types of commercial markets. They actually were not being produced for ham radio operators. You see the broad frequency range that they cover. They were originally produced for all kinds of worldwide commercial accounts. That's why they're able to produce them in large quantities and get the price down. And the cost of labor is practically nothing over there compared to what we're used to. But I'll tell you, I'm concerned. When I project ahead, I don't see how Yaesu and Kenwood and ICOM are going to be able to maintain their margins if they don't make some drastic changes of some sort. At one time, there was the Hillcrafters and the Hammerlands and Collins and National and Drake and all those come to here in the United States. And here comes Yaesu and then ICOM and Kenwood changing the market and push our American companies right off the map, unfortunately. I'm thinking that we're seeing another evolution, if not revolution, but evolution of a similar type, where the Chinese are going to be moving in and pushing the Japanese off the market.
More prophetic than one might think.
That's right. The bigger companies can actually have people in China overseeing the operations, making sure that they're being produced according to standards, and they can enforce the standards. But if you take a small company like ours, we can't afford to have somebody over there overseeing the operations, enforcing standards. We're not in a position to be able to dictate standards. So we have to take whatever we can get, and at the prices that we can get. And unfortunately, as a result, we end up with a fairly high number of defective parts. And that's why, in turn, we literally, and I'm not figurative, but literally, test every single part. Resistors is another example. It's amazing the variations. They'll sell you a 47K ohm resistor. You check it on a VOM or whatever, and it might not be anywhere near 47K. You end up having to sort out your resistors and resort them and reclassify them based upon your own test. Yeah, if you're Kenwood, you can actually have people over there, and you can dictate the standards, and you can oversee it. You're in a different ball game. But if you're a small company, you can't. In this small companies like mine that tries to fill these niche needs, like for instance the need of blind ham radio operators, it's really, really tough. It's really difficult. And to be able to inspect all the parts, making sure you're putting in good, reliable parts, and then to put these things together and put them out for a relatively small, I mean tiny, segment of the market at a reasonable price is very difficult. And people just don't realize that. And I guess there's no reason for them to realize it, because there's no reason for them to really sit down and think about it that much. Again, I go back to the microwave. That's why for blind people, you have to pay $395 for a talking microwave, the same one that sighted people can buy out of Walmart for $89, because it is a custom limited market machine. Hamilton Beach, I believe it was, tried to put out a talking microwave. For some reason, it just didn't go over. They ended up phasing it out. I don't know if you remember or not, but for a while, we could get Hamilton Beach talking microwaves out of Walmart, for instance, for $69.
You haven't really even touched on the problem you, as a manufacturer, have of your customers wanting something for nothing. Hams, being cheap as we are as a subculture, Kenwood will provide a radio at X number of dollars, and the distributor, regardless of how large they might be, an AES, an HRO, are making such small margin of profit, and yet the hams will use the 800 numbers, and oh boy, if they can save $5 somewhere, they'll give them their business. I understand wanting to get a deal, but it just gets to be crazy.
It does.
Someone would like to contact you to have further discussion or ideas exchanged, where would they write to?
My email address is rmilliman, and Milliman's M-I-L-L-I-M-A-N, like Millie Man, rmilliman@twc.com. The TWC stands for Time Warner Cable, but it's rmilliman@twc.com.
And do you have a website?
It's in a state of flux right now because we sold out our other division. That's why our site was devoted to it. So we're scrambling right now. I don't even know what's up there, to be honest with you. It's mellotronics.biz.
And that concludes a conversation between blind entrepreneur Ron Milliman, K8HSY, retired marketing professor at Western Kentucky University, and Rain's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP. The views expressed in this Rain Report do not necessarily reflect those of anyone affiliated with the Radio Amateur Information Network. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for all those connected with these Rain Reports, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Rain Report. Available worldwide on therainreport.com, Twitter @TheRainReport, and via iTunes.